One midnight in 2014, 60-year-old Amina Amodu, her husband Butu, and her son Banakura sneaked out of Kumshi and escaped from Boko Haram insurgents that were in control of the town. With them were other family members, including her granddaughter, Yakadija. But somewhere along the line, the family lost contact with Bana and Yakadija. The Boko Haram insurgency that has been ongoing since 2009 has led to an alarming rate of missing persons and displacements of over 2 million people. The International Committee of the Red Cross, commonly known as ICRC, has recorded over 24,000 missing persons, representing half of the total number of missing persons registered by the organization in the whole of Africa. Hello, welcome to The Crisis Room, a podcast from Human Angle. I'm Zubaydah Baba Ibrahim, standing in for Mariam Mustafa. In this podcast, we look at crisis trends across the country and answer the tough questions around them. This week, I'm here with my colleagues Murtala Abdullahi, Kule Adibajo, and Hawasha Finihu.
Thank you, Zubaydah. Today, we'll be discussing the large-scale disappearance of people in northeastern Nigeria as a result of the ongoing Boko Haram insurgency that has continued to ravage the region. We'll also look at the impact on families and efforts that could assist reunification.
If you can send a message to his family, what will he tell them?
The situation of the Amodus gives a glimpse into the trauma faced by families with loved ones that have gone missing without a trace. For Amina, the pain and suffering didn't stop with getting displaced and having two family members vanish while attempting to seek refuge. Her firstborn, who was left behind due to his mental illness, was reportedly killed during an air raid, while her two other sons, Umara and Shuaibu, were detained by the army alongside thousands of other people indiscriminately arrested during the period of mass displacement. Umara was recently released from the Borno Maximum Security Prison, while Shuaibu was transferred to the Operation Safe Corridor program in Malam Sidi Gombe.
The family story is quite tragic and traumatic. It also highlights some of the factors that have driven disappearance in the region. These factors include adoption by insurgents, like the case of Chibok schoolgirls, as well as disappearance during chaotic displacement. Another major factor behind the trend is actually arbitrary arrest and detention by security forces. For example, Human Angle has documented the case of the Nifa movement that was initiated by a group of women demanding the release of their loved ones kept in state custody.
The scale of the problem is quite huge, and the number of missing persons available could be just the tip of the iceberg. To speak more on the impact of the missing person trend are Kule Adibajo, Human Angle's investigations editor, and Hawasha Finuhu, who heads the displacement and migration desk. Let's start with you, Hawa. You have written about the plight of families with loved ones who are missing as a result of detention. What are your thoughts on the impact on them?
Many of the men missing are patriarchs who used to be their family's providers. And so what their absence means is that in addition to the emotional and mental troubles that their families have to go through, they also now have to fend for themselves. Now, these people also live in displacement camps and communities that just generally favor men. And so you also have cases where those sharing relief materials refuse to extend it to women whose husbands are not present. And so the impacts of their prolonged detention is that it affects their families, it affects their friends, it affects people who used to be reliant on them.
Kule, what's the situation like for families with loved ones who are in captivity and those missing without a trace?
You know, I have written a lot of reports about war victims in Northeast Nigeria and people going through all kinds of humanitarian crises. People who lost their loved ones, lost their life savings and property, lost their jobs and credentials, people who lost their sanity and stability. But I have never had interviewees shed tears as much as those with families who have gone missing. It is truly a traumatic experience, not knowing whether these people are dead or alive, and not being able to fully move on with their lives.
Kunle and Hawa, what do you think about initiatives that are helping to reconnect families?
The first thing to do is provide an avenue where people in detention can have a chance to be visited by their families and to just, you know, be able to speak with them over the phone, even if briefly once in a while. It would really go a long way.
In addition to what Hawa has said, I think the most important step towards reuniting these people with their missing loved ones is for the authorities to release the names of all the people who have been detained over the years at different facilities, whether they are dead or alive. Give the families closure. For those still being detained, let them have their say in court. And if there isn't sufficient evidence against them, simply release them. We must understand that we can never achieve peace without first ensuring there is justice and fair treatment.
Thank you for sharing your insight with us. What's clear is that families with missing relatives need a lot of support. Efforts are required to spotlight the problem, as well as assistance with reunification. For instance, the ICRC works with the Nigerian Red Cross Society to offer Restoring Family Link service, which helps to track that missing person separated from their families and reunite them.
This is an episode of Human Angles Crisis Room. Thank you for listening. I am Zubaydah Baba Ibrahim. Join in next week for another episode. Members of our production team are Murtala Abdullahi, Anthony Asamota, and Chase Allen Ezechukwu. The executive producer is Amos Silkida.